Again, we're continuing. This is part two of a three-part series, When You Don't Know What to Do. Today's piece is titled, In Partnership with the Promise. In Partnership with the Promise, 2 Chronicles 20, verses 20 through 23. At some point in life, we all meet people. We enter into relationships with people. And if one thing is for certain, that is, at some point, the promise that the person made to you, that person is going to break their promise. The fact that you broke your promise really doesn't mean that much, because all of us, by nature, we are open to fall short. The fact that you broke your promise simply means that we all have weakness. But because we all have weakness, and we break our promises sometimes, that gives you no right to throw a rock at the person who falls short. Just as that person is falling short with you, you better believe you're falling short with someone else. So Jesus teaches his disciples that when you pray, that you should pray and say that, forgive us as we forgive those that trespass against us. The problem and issue that we have is that we are so quick to point fingers and think that we have a right to stay angry at someone because they offended us, because we so easily forget that we offend others as well. To be in partnership with the promise means that God has established partnerships. He calls them covenant relationships. And in those covenant relationships, God knew that mankind would fall short, so he gave us his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came so that he could be a part of our deliverance in life. You're quiet. Deliverance doesn't mean anything until you get caught up in a situation and you need to be delivered out of. Deliverance doesn't mean anything until somebody knows your business and you need God to rescue you. Deliverance doesn't mean anything to you until the doctor tells you that you have cancer and now you need Dr. Jesus to deliver you through that. So when God delivers us from something, we have to understand that God is at work in the process. Now when God begins to work in our lives, God is working in our lives because God has established a partnership with us. We are in a covenant relationship with God, and because we're in that covenant relationship with God, the promises of God are ours. So the things that we find ourselves going through, the truth of the matter is we really don't have to go through those things because God said that he'll fight our battles. But in the midst of going through something, we allow our little personality to get involved. When your personality gets involved, God takes a step back. God will never fight with you to be a blessing to you. And so when we begin to go through something, what we have to learn is to trust God. God will always work out your situation because your situation is not yours. It's his. As a matter of fact, you don't belong to him. You belong to him. So if you belong to God, don't you know that your creator knows how to fix every little thing in your life? Don't you know that God will supply all of your needs? I said God will supply all of your needs. You don't have to look to man to supply anything for you. Man is just a vessel. When God says that you are blessed, you better believe that you are blessed, and no devil in hell can ever take that from you. So you don't have to fight. Just take a step back. Go to God in prayer. When you pray about it, say, here, God, I trust you. I trust you. And you see, God has some experience. God has some time on duty with us where we can trust God. Because time after time again, God has proven himself. You see, when God says something, you don't have to wonder, can he do it? He's done it before. He woke you up this morning. He gave you health and strength. He gave you a car. He gave you a house. He gave you everything that you need. You don't have to trust whether or not God can do it. God is able to do everything but fail. He simply needs us to walk with him. Now, because we are in a partnership with God, we have to understand that being in a partnership with God means that wherever you go, God is. I didn't say he was coming. I said God is. God is omniscient, total knowledge of everything, omnipresent, all places. So whatever mess you're in, God is right there. Now, he's not there in your mess to be a blessing in your mess. He's there so that the Holy Spirit can come in, give you a conscience, and say, you know what? That was stupid what I just did. It's because the Holy Spirit that is dwelling inside of us begins to convict us that the Holy Spirit now begins to deal with us so that we can get in alignment with God's word so that God can bless us, because the promise belongs to us, not just Abraham anymore. When you are baptized, God says, now you become a part of the family. When you become a part of the family, what daddy has, daddy wants to share with you. But daddy won't give it to you until you're ready for it. Daddy can't give the 16-year-old $1 million in a Corvette and say, I trust you. Daddy got to wait till the maturity level comes. And when you read your Bible and you see the word perfect, perfect doesn't mean sinless, it means maturity. And so God is trying to grow us, trying to develop us, trying to get our character in line so that our character is already there, so where God sends us, character can then keep us. It's an awful place when God gives you a blessing and you turn out you can't handle it, or you choose not to handle it. It's an awful thing when God bless you with thousands of dollars and 2 months later you got zero. It's an awful thing when God bless you with a relationship and you forget you're in a relationship and doing everything else, and then all of a sudden the relationship is gone. It's an awful thing when God bless you with a job, you get on your job and now you're the boss and now you end up getting fired. It's an awful thing when God bless you with health and strength and we get up and we put all sorts of things in our body, say amen to that, and then we end up getting all unhealthy and everything. It's an awful thing. Oops, that was slipped, right? Okay.
Amen.
The promise of God. Let me push forward. We're almost done. The promise of God. So because God has promised you something, he then go in partnership with you. The partnership is to protect the promise. And so because the partnership is to protect the promise, God is saying, I'm going to grace you in this season. Now, enemies is going to come against you, but I'm going to grace you in this season so that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. God understands that people will come against you. The simple fact that people come against you really doesn't mean anything, but you are confirming that God is in my life. If you're living your life and there's no resistance in your life, you better believe you're on the wrong path. But if you find yourself going through hell and high water just because you're trying to do right, baby, don't get off that highway. Stay right there, because God is up to something. And if Satan wasn't afraid, he won't even bother you. But every time you get ready to take one step forward and something happens and knock you back, you need to begin to praise God and say, I'm on the right track. It must be something where I'm going that God said. says, I got to get there. And Satan comes into your life and he says, I can't let you get right there. Because if I let you get right there, I know that I can't stop you. And so God is saying, listen, you don't have to fight the battle. I'll fight the battle for you. And we're praying and saying, God, how are we going to fight the battle? And so we go home and we get everything in order. And when we get everything in order, we want to know how we're going to do it and how God is going to open up the door. And God says, I want you to take one step back. You want me to do what? Do you see what's coming against me? And God is saying, yeah, I see what's coming, but I want you to take one step back. And then I want you to do a retarded thing. I want you to send the praise in front of where you're going. When you put the praise in front, see, some doors you can't open. But when you begin to praise God, the Bible declares that God dwelleth in the praise of his people in the midst of going through some storms. You ought to begin to praise God. God, I give you praise. It may not be what I want, but I give you praise. And if I hang in there with you, I know you'll open the door. Have you ever tried, God? Have you ever been going through something and it got really dark? And when it was dark, baby, and you discovered that everybody walked out on you, but you couldn't feel nobody, but all of a sudden, God stepped in and he touched you on your shoulder and he whispered in your ear. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He says, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord. Now you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He says, I'm in battle. And if you remember in verse number 5, he says, your enemies is coming against you. And he says, Lord, I should have killed them while I had the opportunity. But now, look at you, God. You had me to be nice to them. And here they are, they're coming back again. And so God says to them this time, he says, what I want you to do, I want you to understand that you in battle. Let me take a break right there to say something to some of these Holy Ghost filled Christians who feel like you can pray about everything and that's enough. Baby, sometimes God wants you to do battle. Sometimes God wants you to do battle. Well, I'm praying about it and I'm just going to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And God said to Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? You this morning, what's in your hand? I don't know what just happened, but something just happened. God said to Moses, he said, Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses says, all I have is a rod in my hand. And God is saying, now work with what you have. Moses then took the rod and he departed the Red Sea. I need somebody to know that you're in a storm right now, but God will depart your Red Sea. I need somebody to know this morning. I know you're going through something and water is all around you, but God will part your Red Sea. I need for somebody to know that you're walking through something this morning. And I know on both sides, all you hear is noise and rumors and layoff, unemployment, and your 401. I know everything is going on, but you got to walk just like God is still sitting high looking low. Can you imagine the children being delivered out of Egypt?
Yes.
And there they are. Moses parted the Red Sea. And as he parted the Red Sea, can you imagine walking through the Red Sea? And as you begin to walk through the Red Sea, all you have to do is look 5 inches this way, and there's the water. And the only thing that is standing between you and that water is a promise where God says, this battle is not yours. If that's too old, too distant for you, let me bring it home to you. You remember you were driving here this morning, you were driving 6 to 5, and that car just was, you know, just a couple of inches from you, and God says the only thing that is standing between you and that car coming over here is my grace. Jehoshaphat began to go into battle. And as he began to enter into battle, he says, God, I got to pray to you. As he began to pray to God, God did the most ridiculous thing that I could ever imagine. And God said to him, you got your army right, But I want you to put your praise and worship ministry in front of the army. I'm thinking, because, you know, I was in the Marine Corps, I'm kind of smart. I was thinking, you shoot artillery way over there, gunship way over there, and destroy most of the things, then we'll go in after everything is dead. That's how I was thinking. God is saying, no, I want you to take your army, have them to take a step back, have your praise and worship ministry to take a step forward. But before you get there, I need for you to get this. The Bible declares that he appointed.
Hallelujah.
Some things you can join in life. You can join the army.
That's right.
But God is saying, but when I call some folk to move on my behalf, you need to have an appointment, a divine appointment. Now, when God appoints you somewhere, can't nobody move you from there. The bullets can't move you. The haters can't move you. Doubters can't move you. I don't care what comes against you. God says, I establish you there. Now, the Bible says that when the Lord established them, everything was all right. Then he said he used the prophet to speak to them, and the prophet then ensured that they would prosper. It makes a difference who's releasing in your life. It makes a difference what church you attend. The worst thing to do is to be out of place looking for a blessing. God is trying to put us in place because there's a blessed promise that he has. The promise that God has is everything throughout the Bible in which God said, he says, I put a seal on it. I put a covenant on it. I put my blood on it. And you can rest assured that you'll see it in your lifetime. But now, that doesn't mean that Satan is not going to come against you. But when Satan comes, you need to tell him, this battle is not mine. It's the Lord. See, that's what God told Jehoshaphat. He says, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord. You don't have to fight the battle. Victory is already there. God wants you to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. But if you don't have faith, you can't stand still. Because every time a weapon that is shot against you, you duck and thinking that it's going to hit you. But he told you no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I know what you said. I know what you lied. I know what you're doing over there. But no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. See, God has established you. To be established means that God put you in place. And when God puts you in place, can't no man move you out of place. That's why I don't get concerned, I don't get worried when people walk out of my life anymore. That don't scare me no more. I'm alright so long as God don't walk out of my life. Now if God walks out of my life, I got a problem. But if you walk out of threatening walk, I don't have no problem with that. Because if you leave, God will put five more right where you are. God knows where you are. God knows exactly where you are. God knows what you're going through. And that's why God is saying to you this morning, he says, the battle is not yours.
All right.
Listen, there's a promise. God promised you that you have victory. And if God has promised you you have victory, what you worried about? What you worried about? You remember 3 years ago you used to be worried about paying your bills, and today you still worried about it, but the light's still on? Won't God pay your bills? The doctor told you 10 years ago you had cancer, you were going to die. Here you are looking better today. Look, you ought to give him some praise. You ought to give him some praise. You ought to begin to send your praise and worship ahead of the army and begin to praise.
something. God says, I never leave you. I never forsake you. I know what they say, but you better believe, baby, I'll fight your battles. In the midst of going through something, God will show up in your life. And when God shows up, God will show out. God says, I'll show out in your life. I'll put a hedge of protection around you. He says, I'll supply all of your needs. All of your needs. All of your needs. I wish we could take just a praise break, just for a few minutes, and just say, God, I came this morning expecting. God, I came this morning just expecting. I came just expecting. God, I know what you're going to do, because my life is lined up with you. I prayed about it. We even did a corporate fast, and God turned some things around. You ought to praise him right now, like God has already done that thing for you. Come on and give him some praise this morning. Come on and praise him this morning. Come on and praise him this morning. Come on and praise him. Go ahead and praise him. Just praise him. Just praise him. Praise him in expectation. Praise him in expectation. Praise him in expectation. He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it. Praise him in expectation. I'm going to give you three things and then I'm going to go. Give you three quick things and then we're going to go. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Three quick points. The first one is that you got to see the promise of God. The Bible declares, so as a man thinketh, so is he. When I can see it in my spiritual eye, my body lines up with it. Because now when I see it and faith steps in, my body develops expectation. That's why I tell you, when you come to church, expect something from your dad. Now, you remember Christmas time, and you were 12, you were 10, and you wanted mom and daddy to do something, and you were excited about the gift. Now I said, expect something from your daddy. Just like you were jumping for the choo-choo train, jump for the holy train that is riding by you right now. Just like you were jumping up and down, you were excited about Christmas. Now you get to unwrap the gift. I'm talking about Emmanuel. I'm talking about Jesus that died on an old rugged cross so that you can have life. You ought to praise him now. You got to see the promise. Now, once you see the promise, point number two, you got to stretch. Have you ever been trying to get something, and if you just stretch just a little bit, you can reach it, just stretch just a little bit. God is talking to somebody. God has somebody right at your blessing, and he says, baby, you're almost there, but you got to stretch just a little bit. You know the danger sometimes is when God show you the blessing, but you still got to stretch and get it, because I can see it. It's right there. I just can't touch it. And you're walking around on your little tippy toes, and God is saying, baby, you got to press into that thing. You got to keep on praying until something happens. You haven't seen the manifestation yet. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has for you. You ought to know that God has something in store for you. But God is saying, but you got to stretch. You got to stretch. It's going to be a stretch for you to get it. But you're going to get it. See, sometimes we want the promise, but we don't understand the pain. And sometimes when you get ready to work out, you know they say you got to stretch before you work out. Sometimes the stretch hurt more than the workout, because it makes you use muscles you haven't used before. Now, faith is a muscle. You got to use your faith right here. God is about to release that thing, but you got to use some faith right here. You got to stretch for it. And when you begin to stretch for it, you got to understand, when I can see it, God will make me stretch for it. And then he says, Now stand. But I don't have it yet, God. I saw it. I declared it. I expect it. But it's not in my hand. I even pressed into you. I even quoted a verse. I said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence things not seen. I learned one. God is saying, stretch. And I stretched. And I'm still not there. And God says, stand. Stand. After you've done all that you can,
stand.
I don't have to do anything.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, really, you're doing something. When you stand, God is saying, I want you to stand in faith. Faith is a firm persuasion in someone. Your faith becomes your works. Works is from the Greek word ergon, which has to do with your state of being, not necessarily what you're doing. Inside of you is faith. And God is saying, just stand on my word. Just stand on my promise. You want me to do what? I just want you to believe in me.
Thank you, Jesus.
But God, I've never seen you.
Thank you, God.
Greater blessings they shall receive that haven't seen. God, you want me to do what? I just want you to stand. Do you want me to go tell somebody? No. I just want you to stand. Because the truth of the matter is, when the storms come our way, we do everything and call everybody. And after everything else, then we turn it over to God. He says, I want you to do something. I just want you, when the storms of life come, just stand. I want you to find one little passage of scripture that fits your situation and quote it 159,000 times and stand on it. Every time doubt comes, God, you say, you'll never leave me, never forsake me. I'm just telling you what you told me. Now, if it's a lie, you said, but I know Numbers 23:19, where God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, it shall be done. 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 Now, after all, you just stay. You just stay. Just stay. Come on and stand with me in this building this morning. Come on and stand. Come on and stand. I want you to stand with me as we touch and agree in the spirit this morning. But I want you to stand before God. Jehoshaphat said, I don't have the men. I don't even have the faith to do it. And God says, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. As you stand this morning, just go ahead and lift your hands up.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah, God.
Go ahead and lift your hands. I don't mean to insult anyone this morning, but allow me to be a little elementary. When you lift your hands, it's a position of surrendering to God. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. So we stand and we lift our hands to God and we surrender to God. When you surrender to God,
you say to God, I can't do it. When you say, I can't, grace says, I can. Grace will step into your situation. When grace steps in, mercy has to follow. Mercy has to follow.
God, I give you glory.
And where grace is abound,
thank you, Lord God.
Mercy steps in and mercy says, I feel you.
Thank you, Lord God.
You thought God couldn't feel you. You thought you were in a strange land and nobody was dealing with what you were dealing with. God says, I feel you.
Thank you, Lord God.
You know, the Bible says that we are never to quench the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, God, I give you glory. Hallelujah. Yes.
Where the Spirit is in this place is that there's somebody who needs to be prayed for in this
place.
I want you to come to the altar.
I give you glory, God. Hallelujah.
If you need prayer this morning, just come to the altar.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah.
You need prayer this morning. Go ahead and put your arms down if you want to. But if you need prayer this morning, I want you to come to the altar.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
The little shimmer. Standing at the altar this morning. The word this morning is release. Let it go. 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 Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Paul says the gospel is a simple gospel. God is saying, just let it go. Just let it go. This battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Just let it go. All the tactics, all the armor, everything. Some of us has, we've even rehearsed what we were going to say and what we were going to do. And God is saying, let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. God, do you know? Yeah, I know. I know. I know what they did to you. Just let it go. God, you obviously don't know what they did. I didn't. Just let it go. But God, if you knew, I'm telling you, God. Hey, Tony.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you know what you've done to me?
So worthy.
You want me to let it go? I want you to let it go.
Thank you.
And that's what God is saying to us. Just let it go.
So worthy.
Just let it go. You worried about something?
Thank you, God.
Wake up every morning and you worry about the same thing. You've been doing it for 2 years now. Same thing. Somebody here is worried about what may happen tomorrow. What if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? Just let it go. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us once again to come into your presence. Father God, we thank you right now, Lord, for allowing us to touch and agree in the Spirit. That person that is standing at the altar this morning, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you give them a peace beyond understanding. We ask right now, Lord, that you just empty us, Lord, from all of self. And give us, Lord, a fresh anointing. Help us to run this race. And to do it in the image of God. Help us. us to do it with the integrity of God. Help us to do it with a loving heart. Father God, we pray that our lives may be on display. For you said in Jeremiah 31:3, your loving kindness have I found thee. Make our life a living testimony. May we draw others not based on what we say, but the God that they see in us. Father God, we touch and agree in the Spirit right now. For you said where two or three is gathered together in your name, that you're in the midst. We corporately pray right now, Lord, that this week someone will see a supernatural blessing. I'm not talking about transferring from one position to the next. I'm talking about a promotion. Father God, I'm talking to somebody whose house that is in foreclosure right now. I'm not praying asking you to cancel the debt. I'm praying asking that you gift that person so that they'll have money to pay it. That person, Lord, that's going back to the doctor this week, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Father God, that person that is worried about a child, in your hands. In your hands. In your hands. In your hands. Not only in your hands, Lord, but there will be a turnaround in that child's life. There will be a turnaround in that child's life. Father God, we pray this morning, Lord, just thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Thank you for guiding us. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that whosoever will hear your word, that they will come. Whosoever will hear your word, they will come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.